I'll start with an interesting story that I once heard. There was once a businessman whose office was on the top floor of a skyscraper, 80 floors up. And one day he went out on the roof, you know, for a smoke. And somehow, accidentally, he got locked out on the roof. Didn't have a phone, didn't know what to do, bang this on the door, no one heard him. So he thought of an idea. He had a bunch of cash in his pocket, so he took his cash out of his pocket and he starts, you know, taking one bill at a time and dropping it down on the street. He's watching the bills flutter down to the street one at a time. People walk by, they take it, they look around, and they move on. Some people saw that there was more than one, so they stayed for a few minutes. They took one, two, three. He had a bunch of money, but eventually he ran out. And no one, you know, people looked up to see a little bit what's going on, where's the money coming from, you know, money falling from heaven and this. And they looked, they didn't see anyone. So they moved on. End of plan one. So what'd he do? Then he thought of another idea. He went around the roof and he collected some pebbles, little stones, and he figured he'll throw down stones. Maybe he'll have more luck. So he takes, you know, stone, throws it down. 80 floors, makes a nice bang, you know, whatever it was. Smashed someone's windshield, banged into someone. All of a sudden, panic, mayhem. Everyone's, you know, what's going on over here? Everyone's looking to see who's throwing down rocks. They call the police, you know, and police come up. And they found him on the roof. And that's how he got out. So now, the question is, yeah, it's a cute story. What's the limud? I'll tell you, you can learn a lot, you know, from human nature for these stories. What's the limud? Why is it that people, when they saw the money, no one cares where's the money coming from, where's the, no, they don't look up. When they get banged by a rock, then they want to know, where's it coming from? So, all kinds of different explanations, why. But if you think about it, this is what I want to bring out, is that a person in his mind, he has different faculties, right? We have different keichas that we use. We know how to enjoy things, we know how to appreciate things when something good happens. That's one faculty that a person has. A person also knows how to protect himself, you know, if something's dangerous. So we all know that you living animals, people, they have this ability to understand the danger and to take care of themselves. And then a person has a brain which thinks into things and tries to figure out what's going on to understand things. When a person is enjoying himself, when a person is finding these dollar bills, so his brain doesn't automatically kick in to try to figure out where's it coming from. He doesn't care. He's having a good time finding the money and he doesn't think past there. That's the way people are. Mashain Kane, when someone is threatened and, you know, he has to take care of himself, all of a sudden the brain starts working. What's going on? Who's attacking me? What do I need to do? And the brain kicks in and he starts looking. I mean, I think what I'm saying is simple. You could say it in your own words, whatever. But my point is that people's minds and functioning react differently to different situations. And that's the way humans are. That's why I call this myopia. What do I mean when I say that? Myopia means nearsightedness. It means people see what's in front of them. Sometimes when a person, it's good, when he finds this dollar bill, that's all he sees. He sees the dollar bill, and that's it. He doesn't see past there. He just sees the immediate enjoyment that he has. Vizel. And unfortunately, very often, we get stuck in this. In this small-mindedness, in this short-sightedness. And it's something that we have to talk about. I'll explain where it fits in and to shave him and this, but this is the midah that I'd like to talk about. I call it myopia because the alternative is the Navi has a different word for it. The Navi, the pasuk, we learn in the beginning of Yeshaya, very interesting pasuk. It says, Yodea shor koneu, The chamor evus bailo. It says a shor knows his master. The chamor knows evus bailo. He knows the feeding bowl that he eats out of. Ami lo yoda, Yisrael lo yoda, ami lo yisponim. But Klal Yisrael doesn't know, they don't think. What's the Navi trying to say? What does he want with the chamor, with the shor? What he's saying is, look, there's a difference between a shor and a chamor. A shor, yedei shor kaneu. He knows who his owner is. He's got that much brains to know that, you know, the food is coming from somewhere, the owner, either that feeds him or that hits him. The chamor, he doesn't even have that. The chamor knows the bowl that he eats out of. That's what the chamor sees. He doesn't know past there. And the Navi is telling Klal Yisrael that if you're not looking and thinking to try to figure out what's going on and you only see what's in front of you, so that's called someone who's worse than a chamor. Because the chamor, you know, he sees. The chamor is also, he's limited. That's, unfortunately, that's the way people are. People sometimes, they get so caught up in what's in front of them, especially if what's in front of them, that's the point. By the chamor, we all know what happens by the chamor. The chamor comes to eat, and all he sees is the food in front of him, and that's it. The rest of the world disappears. That's the myopia of a chamor, which we have to make sure not to fall into. It's very interesting, you know. You'd say, what's in Hagea? The medrashim that are mamish davar pella, psukim. It says that by the mon, right? Moshe Rabbeinu tells the yidden, go out, take a certain amount every day. Don't go out on Shabbos. And we find that yidden didn't listen. What was going on by the man? You realize that there was food coming down from Shemayim for a million plus people. We don't even understand what it means. We see the psukim, we don't know. You know, you look outside in front of the yeshiva in the morning, how much stuff they take for 250 people. You have to times that by 100,000 or something like that to realize how much was coming down from Shemayim. And someone doesn't realize to think, one second, where's this coming from? It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, that was the Nisayon. That was the Nisayon, to focus and to think about it and not get stuck in the food. Not to have that short-sightedness of what the Navi was describing. There's another Medrash Pliya. It says that in Tanit Bel Yoh, it says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipe the Mitzrayim out in the Yam Sof? In other words, he had taken them out, he did the makas. What was he trying to add to the lesson from the makas, by wiping the Mitzrayim and having them drown in the Yam Sof? So the Medrash says that Pesha Yisrael said, Ein boy koyach lahatzel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have koyach to save us in this way, to wipe out. He just has koyach to he says, we ran out, we were kevra bereach. That's the lashon. Imagine that, we're talking about after 10 makas. They saw it, Tzvardeya, Kinem. And somehow they didn't get the message. I think, what's the pshat? The pshat is because they were avodim and they got freed. When a person is freed, we can't imagine what it is. We were never avodim, we never suffered, Baruch Hashem. But when someone is freed, he's just so happy, he's so focused on what happened to him and what he's getting out of this situation that it's hard for him sometimes to look past. And as much as there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was doing the Nisan, but somehow they just didn't get the message yet. And that's human nature. Human nature is that sometimes when the thing is right in front of them, then what's right in front of them they see, and they can't see past. That's why what I'm calling this myopia, this inability to see past. And what I want to talk about is the fact that the Torah expects us to see so much more than that. The Torah expects us to look into things and to see deeply. And we have to know, to check ourselves. You know, I was thinking about it. In the past, I've spoken about the topic of Rahmana Liba Bay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts. Right? And how much describing about the different forms of Avodas Hashem. What's the Ikar? The Ikar is the Lev. And I try to think always, where does the avodah delay? What do we have to try to do? I don't think the avodah isn't convincing ourselves that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I think we have to try to figure out why it's not happening. What's preventing? What's blocking? Where's the weak link? Where do I have to put in the work? And I think that this is possibly where we'll find the work, is that it's just a question of changing our focus and teaching ourselves to open our hearts and to look a little deeper and to open our hearts and to get the heart working. I'll explain to you what I mean. In this week's parasha that we're going to learn this week, right? A very famous Yisrael. What does it say? It says, Vayishma Yisrael. Yisrael heard, so Chazal say, Rashi brings down. What did he hear that made him come, right? Yisrael heard something and he came to the Midbar to Pai. So what did he hear? So Chazal tell us. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf, Mohammed Samalik, right? So question. He's the only one who heard this, right? First, I'm sure everyone has thought of this and understood this by themselves, but he's the only one who heard. The whole world knew about Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Chazal say that the waters all over the world split. And Mohammed Amalek also, I don't know exactly how famous it was, but it was a big thing. Amalek was a powerful nation. And so he was the only one who heard about it. So how come no one else came? What's the pshat? The teretz is the pasuk says. By Yishma Yisrael. Yisrael heard. There's such a thing called hearing. Hearing is really hearing. Hearing something and thinking, what's going on? A lot of people heard about it, you know? They heard, they're reading the paper over breakfast, and they read, HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yamsuf, right? Guy says, that's amazing. You know, can I have some more coffee? Right? It's just, who cares? What does it do for me? You know, it's interesting, it's fascinating, unbelievable, right? But so what? How does it affect me? I'm in the middle of eating breakfast, I have my job, I have my house, whoever it was out there in the world, right? Didn't do anything to them. Yisroi obviously had something to him that made that he heard things differently. And that's what we have to learn. There's such a thing called shmia, hearing something, understanding, and making it do something to our hearts. That's what we have to work on. Now Yisroi, this wasn't the first thing that he did. You see, he had something to him. Yisroi was a minister, right? Chazal tell us that he was one of the ministers of Pare. And when Pare said that he wanted to start torturing and being ma'ana the Yidden. So it says that Yisrael ran away. Why? Because he couldn't stand to see such a thing. Also, the same thing. You have a guy who's a minister. We don't understand what it means. Someone was a minister in Mitzrayim. That means he had a top position. And it bothers him that there's a nation. He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't related to them yet, right? And it bothered him. He couldn't see it so much that he had to go and he had to go run away. That's because he had something in his heart. There was something that didn't allow him. He was unsettled. That's the heart that we're talking about. That's a vayishma. That's a heart that's capable of hearing. That's what we want to talk about. That's where I think that the avod is and the growth is. To know that our kutra wants our hearts, we know. So what do I do? How do I make it happen? Why isn't my heart reacting like that? And that's what I want to point out a little bit to show that the Torah expects us to have this kind of heart, this heart that hears, this heart that understands. And I think everyone knows it by themselves also, because if you look around, you see that there are bachurim who come, they grow a tremendous amount in Eretz Yisrael, and there are bachurim who come, and they don't grow so much. What's the difference? The difference is there are those who hear, and those who don't. There's vayishma, there are those who hear. They hear what's going on. They take it in, they think about it, and then there are those who they push it, they can't see past what's going on in front of them. And that's what we have to know. We have to learn to train ourselves, and it's something we can train ourselves to do, is to think and to open up our hearts and to see things differently. I just want to point out, just examples, in the past few weeks, I was thinking about it, and, you know, the Ramban says, in Leskis Parsha, we say, Achidish Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim, we count the months from Nisan, even though the first Rosh Hashanah, we know the world was created in Tishrei, but we count Chodesh Rishon is Nisan. Why? Ramban says Zeichel Letzias Mitzrayim, that every time we say Chodesh Hasheni Shlishi, we should remember Letzias Mitzrayim. He says the same thing on Shabbos. We say Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, Revi B'Shabbos, because it's part of Zochra Hashem Shabbos Lekachay. I have a question. Anyone ever thought when he heard Chodesh HaShlishi, that has anything to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim? When we lay on Shavuos, Chodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Does someone thinking about Yitzis Mitzrayim? I speak for myself, you know? When we say every day in davening, Hayoyim Yoyim Shlishi B'Shabbos, that's the day, but we're thinking about Shabbos.
the Torah expected people to think. The Torah expected words to do something. We're supposed to talk to our hearts. We have this in tzitzis and mezuzah all over. We have mitzvahs that are zeich letzias mitzrayim. It's supposed to wake up our minds. We're supposed to be thinking. I'm just pointing out how much the Torah wants, how the Torah wants the Yiddish heart to be working. That we should be taking things in. We should, our heart should be alive. That's this nekuda that I think we need the avodah. And if we're talking about it, it's not only benam lamakom, it's benam lachaver also. We have a mitzvah ve'ahavta l'racha kamecha. Ve'ahavta l'racha kamecha means pashut, the love of the yid. Loving means that I have to be tuned into them. I have to think about them. I was thinking about it. There's a story about Rav Shmuel Salam, the Rav Yerushalayim, many years ago. That one time someone came to him and asked him a shaila before Pesach. He said, Rebbe, I want to know, can I use milk for the dal kaisis? B'di'evet, is a chamar medina, kiddush, whatever, you know. So he thought about it. He answered him whatever he answered him. And then the person went out. He called in his gabbai, and he said to his gabbai, he says, find out who that person is and make sure that you give him enough money that he should have food for Yontif. His gabbai said, what happened? He said, if he's asking me whether he could use milk for the dal kaisis, so he probably also doesn't have meat and he doesn't have money for the things that he needs, otherwise he wouldn't be asking me about the milk. So we got to take care of him and make sure that he has enough food for Yontif. Understand, he was someone who was tuned in. It's not such a big mifestick story. It just means that he was sensitive. He saw a person with needs. He didn't just see someone coming with a halacha question. He saw people and he saw their needs and he was sensitive to take care of them. There's stories like this about the Gdolim by the dozens. That comes from someone's heart being open, someone's heart being touched by other people. That's the way we're supposed to be. Good. So that's the avodah. So how do we do it? How do we start making sure that our hearts work like this? So the truth is that before I just want to talk about one more nekuda. And just to give other examples in Yiddishkeit, just to show where we're going. You know, in what areas are we supposed to be opening up our heart? What is it that we're trying to do? Just to give other examples. The Rambam, when he speaks about the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, so in the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, he says, V'ketzeri ha'ava hor'uya, hi sheyev es Hashem ava g'deilo yiseira. The person has to have ava g'deilo yiseira rabba aza ad mo'oy. He loses himself with Avos Hashem. That's how he describes how a person is supposed to be with Avos Hashem. His mind is not free from anything else. That's what it says. That's the way a person is supposed to have his heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Nefesh HaChaim talks about davening, he talks about Ula Avdecha B'chol Levavchem, and he says over there also, he says when a person davens, he's supposed to daven with his whole heart. He's supposed to be totally involved and not thinking about anything else. He says to wipe out all thoughts of Elam Hazan. This, you have to see the Lashonis that he says. He says a person's whole lave, his whole nefesh has to be in davening. That's what we're trying to accomplish. We're not just trying to open up so we have a little bit of consideration, a little bit of thinking. We're trying to get the heart open that it should be experience the things that we're supposed to experience in a big way. Chazal talk about Avos HaTorah the same way that a person is supposed to. Chazal bring examples that there was a Tana who used to start saying his share on one side of the field, and he used to end up on the other side of the field. He used to move around. His begadim wouldn't come with him. He was so involved in what he was learning. The Chazal give this as an example of Avos HaTorah. He's being involved and being connected to Torah. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get our hearts into these things. Next week, we're going to learn about Maimon Har Sinai. At Maimon Har Sinai, there were Kailus of Rakim. It was an awesome thing. It wasn't just that they got the Torah. The Torah describes it with detail. It's something that's supposed to chap us. It's something, there's a mitzvah schira of Maimon Har Sinai. Torah is supposed to have this awesome picture for us. This what Torah was, what Kabbalah HaTorah was. These are the kind of things that Yiddishkeit wants. Yiddishkeit wants us to be. The Torah expects us to be alive, to open our hearts. This is what we have to work on. Oh, so how do we do it? And again, I just want to say one thing before
Another nekuda, which I think that makes it difficult for us, is we learned in last week's parasha, we're going to learn in another few weeks about Amalek. Everyone knows the koyach of Amalek. The koyach of Amalek, Chazal tells, was to cool things off, right? There was an ambatra sachas, and Amalek says, you don't have to be so nispal. And I think that there's such a thing, you know, some people, they have this nature. They want to be, you know, I'm cool. I don't get so affected by these things. I don't, you know, you see guys running to Seder and this, you know, I go, I walk, you know, I'm cool. I don't, things don't get me excited. Things that's not a Yiddish thing. The Yiddish thing is to have Avos Hashem like the Rambam described it. To have Avos HaTorah like the Rambam described it. Davin like the Nefesh HaChaim describes it. That's the way a Yid is supposed to look. A Yid is supposed to be with his heart on fire. Cool is the opposite of that. That's why cool is B'gmatria Amalek. It doesn't work right in numbers, but it should be like that anyway. But I'll call upon him. It's true that we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that. That is the koyach of Amalek that Amalek put in and we have to knock out of us. I don't want to be that kind of Bahar. I want to be someone who's excited. I want to be someone who my heart gets excited from things. So how do we do it? Okay? So I thought of different things. Not I thought. Svam speak about different things. Nefesh Chaim over there speaks about, first of all, we say every day in davening, Hu yiftach libeinu b'sarasa. The Mepharshim say two different pshatim. What does it mean? Yiftach libeinu b'sarasa. So some Mepharshim say, we use the Torah to open up our heart. When we learn Torah, the Torah talks to us and the Torah affects our heart. Nefesh Chaim says the same thing. When he speaks over there about davening, he says, how do we do it? Ayidei Torah and mitzvahs. When we do the things we're supposed to in Yiddishkeit, because they're things that really connect us deep inside, so it opens up our heart to feel the things we need to feel. And it helps us to get pierced and not to get caught in the outside, the things which aren't letting us see the depths. That's what Torah mitzvahs does for us. Tefillah. In the Siddur Iyun HaTefillah from the Baal Ksav HaKabbalah, so he says over there that tefillah has the ability also to open our hearts. Now it all depends how we daven. If we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're saying words that are meaningful to us and things that talk to us, so then of course it gets our hearts to react. If we daven the way the Nefesh HaChaim talks about it, so at least think about it. Think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, how much I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying Shvach, all the different feelings that are going on in tefillah. If we try to make it happen when we're davening, so we'll be making our hearts open to this. That's the avodah of a yid. Musar, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, that's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanta was mechadesh to us. That he said that in our dar, just learning Torah, what previously in previous daras the Torah was able to do, now we need to focus specifically on the halakam of Torah that talked to our heart. This is the avodah. The avodah is to do those things which open our heart. I saw the Baal Musa say, half the kazakh. The Baal Musa say that the heart is like a field. And just like a field needs to be plowed, so the heart also needs to be plowed. And, you know, when I saw that, I was thinking about the psukim in Mishlei, very interesting psukim. Shlomo HaMelech says over there, Avarti al stei ish otzer. Mishlei Shalom brings it back down in tears, that I went past the field of someone who was a lazy man, and I saw Olukulukim Shainim, right? It was full of weeds and thorns. What's the pshat? What's the pshat that a person doesn't plant his field, that the person doesn't work his field? Because it's hard. It's hard to plow a field. Especially because you don't see the results in front of you right away. You have to take the dirt and, you know, even if you have a cow to help you to pull through, you got to get this piece of metal to go and turn over every inch of the earth, and then you have to go through and pull out the weeds, and you have to soften it up, and then only afterwards you're going to plant it, and in a few months you're going to see the pears. At the end of the day, when you're finished with the plowing, what do you see? A muddy mess. And you're sitting there sweating, and your neighbor walks by and he says, you enjoying yourself, man? You know, you had a good time today plowing your field? And what do you have to answer? You have to answer, yeah. He says, now it looks like I didn't accomplish anything, but come back in 6 months when I have rows and rows of produce growing over here and you won't have anything, then we can talk. But unfortunately, the Yetzer Hara grabs us, and the Yetzer Hara, there's such a thing called
a stay ish otzel. The person was not willing to do that. He's not willing to go and to make the harisha that he needs to be harish. And that's what the Baal HaMusa talk about the heart. The heart is something which needs to be worked through. It's not automatic. These feelings are not automatic. By nature, our heart doesn't stop working because we just experience things in the external way. We just experience what's going on in front of us. And when we had another nikudu and we're working. Chazal say, a few weeks ago in the parasha, it says, Vayokam melech chadash al Mitzrayim. So Chazal say over there, Rabbeinu Bachri brings down that it was a tfiyah on parei. This is machlok of what it means. Melech chadash mamish, and schach gzei roisav. So it says over there that it wasn't the same, it wasn't a new king, it was just new gzeiris. And it was a tfiyah on him because he forgot what Yosef did for him. Shalihikir as Yosef, right? And so Chazal say over there, Kol ha-kifer b'tayvosei shabasa v'dam, seifei lichvar b'tayvosei shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing. What does it mean, someone who's kifer b'tayvosei shabasa v'dam? It means that really, by nature, when someone does something for you, you should feel that that person did something for you. You should appreciate it. And you should see what they're doing for you. You should see into the situation. That's much easier than chapping HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes. If someone works on himself and he has HaKadosh HaTayfa Basav Adam, then he'll be able to also have HaKadosh HaTayfa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who's Kifer B'Tayvasa Yishal Basav Adam is not going to be able to have HaKadosh HaTayfa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who learns in yeshiva and he goes to a shir and he doesn't understand what the Rebbe puts in to prepare this shir, he's not going to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes either. Someone who doesn't understand how much work goes into yeshiva, mitzvah, nanhola, and everyone who puts in, they can't understand. And so this is also part of our avodah. We have to realize that we have to be banging away at our hearts and trying to get our hearts to be sensitive. It doesn't happen by itself. It's a process. We got to plow through. We have to go little by little, just like plowing, little by little. And we have to know the right feelings that we're supposed to have, and we have to try to knock it in. Every davening. When we're davening, I'm supposed to be feeling something. I'm supposed to be feeling HaKadosh HaTayva. I'm supposed to give Mishvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time I go to a shir, every time there's a meal served in yeshiva, we're going to have Tu B'Shvat. Another example. It's going to be Tu B'Shvat. What happens on Tu B'Shvat? So we eat fruits. What are we supposed to, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an Eretz Yisrael that has Peres Eretz Yisrael. And I'm talking about the Ruchnis Shabbayim, the Kedusha Shabbayim, which the Mefarshim speak about. But just the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a land that produces beautiful fruit. So what are we thinking about? When we get that plate with the fruit on it, where's my mind? Where's my heart? Is my mind in the plate? That's all I see? I can't see past there? Or I can get my heart to think past there and to think that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave us an Eretz Yisrael that produces these fruits. And my mind goes somewhere past. It goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way we're supposed to be thinking. We have to get past the thing that's in front of us. We have to get past that myopia, that short-sightedness that only lets us focus on the things that we enjoy. Yeah, you can go down and you have a geschmack of time. There's going to be nice fruits and it's enjoyable. That's not where Yid stops. Yid goes further. Yid has a heart, and that's what we have to do. We have to train our hearts slowly but surely. That's the avodah. And this is the time. That's Mesugol Kach. The Yidden were going now towards Har Sinai and they were preparing themselves for Maimon Har Sinai. This is what they were going through. You can't be Makabal the Torah unless you have a heart. And these are the weeks that are Mesugol Kach. And soon, like we said, we're going to be Shabbos Zohar when we're supposed to be Moicha Amalek. Amalek is the exact opposite. I'm not reacting. I'm not fazed by it. These are the weeks that we have to be working about it, thinking about it, and it's a slow, hard process. That's what I said. It's like banging through and being chayrish. But just like when a person works through the field and he's taka chayrish and he's patient and he believes that in the end he's going to see Paris, and even though it's hard at the beginning and he works hard and he doesn't have something to show for it at the beginning, but in the end, after 6 months or whenever the Paris grow, he has a beautiful field to show, so too. Every bachur and every yid who's willing to do this avodah, tefillah by tefillah, and hakaras hatov by hakaras hatov, sensitivity bein adam lechaver, and he bangs away at his heart, slowly but surely, he teaches his heart to react, to feel, and to have these hargoshes that a yid is supposed to have. Then he has dargoshes in Torah, in Tefillah, in Beinam Lachaveri, in Avas Hashem, because he created that field that he needed to create. And he has that beautiful field at the end. So we have to have emuna, we have to believe in the system, like someone who goes and plants a field. And we should take advantage of the Siyata Deshmaya that we have now in these weeks. We have 2 weeks left to Shavuot. We were preparing ourselves in this way. And we should taka, start the Aveda and work hard. And Mirz Shem, we should see taka beautiful Paris. Come on.